Hello and welcome to another episode of The Agony Uncles. I'm Uncle Si.
And I'm your Uncle Dave. Look at that, we've reached episode 50 of The Agony Uncles.
Yes, it's our 50th and we're so pleased you continue to listen and to support us and the podcast in your thousands. Because you know how things are. Life's fine and dandy 1 minute and then suddenly something comes along that makes you think, oh, shit.
All right, look at him. He's old Happy Hector. It's our golden anniversary, and there he is bringing us down.
Wait, no, I'm just saying.
There are no problems, Simon, only solutions.
Oh, okay.
Aye. And that's where we come in.
Oh, is it?
Yes. Okay. We've seen it all on our many travels on the highways and byways of life, and that's why we want to help you with your problems. And have a bit of the laugh, like, and predicaments on this, the Agony Uncles podcast.
Yes, indeed. Now, helping us with yours, ours, everybody's troubles and woes, this week, as of course it is, the Thin White Duke himself, Mr. Jeeves.
Hello, lovely to see you. And, well, for everyone listening, as I've mentioned before, sometimes we're in all different places, all over the place. So we're in a sort of rather eclectic mix of places. I'm in New Zealand. Posh Tash is wherever you are in Posh Tash land. But Si and Dave are together, sat next to each other, having had a curry last night. Is it an interesting whiff in there?
No, it's very good.
Our lower appendages are doing really quite well.
Yeah, we just had a pint, one glass of red, one pint. And a bit of a curry. It was a beef madras. It was a Carolyn fish curry.
Oh, yeah, that was nice.
Chicken jalfrezi.
That was even nicer.
A beef korma.
Oh, that was good.
And pilau rice and a few naans.
Nice. Well, if you go and have a look on the Hairy Bikers Facebook, you'll see a picture of the pair of you with a pint each. So I hope you had a nice pint as well. But yeah, busy time. Happy anniversary, 50th.
Yes, our golden wedding.
Big golden anniversary. Look at you. Oh, it's so sweet. And lots of lovely issues for you to get your teeth into in this week's episode.
Oh, smashing.
Oh, but the best bit, here she is, the queen of the quibble, the princess of problems. It's Posh Tash. Oh, look at the wiggle.
Oh, she's just gorgeous, isn't she?
Gorgeous.
I'd marry her if she wasn't married, would you?
Oh, I say, who wouldn't?
Well, because they're true, yeah. Oh.
Line up. There's a very long queue.
to run away. That'd be it. When's the next bus out of here?
I'm ready for all problems.
Good. You look all like perky and neat.
I did actually also have a couple of glasses of red wine last night, so I shouldn't feel as perky as I do.
Wow.
I had a chicken burger, not a decent curry, sorry.
A chicken burger?
Yeah, what? Quite a good one though. Do you know where I had it? I had it at the pub, which is your the Big Smoke Brewery, where your lovely craft beer was on tap.
Yes. So. Yeah, they do nice food there, don't they? Very nice. Nice very beer nice. Too. Mm. Oh, yeah. Good. Down in Isha.
Yeah,
Isha.
Exactly. Nice. Oh,
sorry.
Sorry.
Up in Burton-on-Trent was a curry.
Yes, curry. Curry and farting. We're men of men and curries are curries.
It wasn't actually, was it?
It wasn't at all. No, it was really good.
Do you know what? Before we get into anyone else's problems, I went to a surprise 50th at a very nice restaurant, which is a one layer bar, one layer a restaurant, and one floor, a nightclub. And we had this surprise party. And I didn't know many people, I just knew a couple of people there, but we're all trying to get to know each other before the surprise guest came. Somebody made the most horrific smell in this very small bar. And you know when you don't know enough people, but my God, was it horrific. And I'm telling you, no woman would have done that in a bar. So I spent my time talking to these people for the next half an hour going, there's four of you I'm talking to and one of you did it. But everyone denied it. No one said anything, but you could tell we all nearly had to open a window. It was horrific. I thought it was very bad form. Posh Tash does not approve of that kind of behaviour.
No, it's not. It's wrong. Not in a confined space.
Outrageous.
I mean, it's all right when you've got a bit of a draft on, but no.
Yeah.
Don't know anybody and you're all dressed up.
No, it's horrible.
I was outraged.
Years ago when I was at art school at Goldsmiths, there was I was very forward thinking, and it was in the late 70s, and there I was, and I joined one of the seminars I joined up for was women in art, and it was women with an eye, you know. So anyway, I went to the seminar and I was the only bloke, and you know, I thought, well, And they, you know, to be fair enough, they looked at me as though I shouldn't be there. But I was interested. It was Women in Art, Art's Art, isn't it? It was so funny because there was somebody in that seminar who also kept, you know, dropping the potatoes. And what was so funny is they assumed, because I'm a bloke, that it was me.
It was you.
Yeah, but it wasn't me. And at one point, I just went, ladies, I said, it is not me that keeps farting, so you can stop looking at me. And it was so funny, you know, it was like this outrage. I thought, no, it wasn't me. It was assumption that was bad. Assumption. Prejudice.
My husband said it smelt female. Oh, we discussed it after, but it smelt female. And I said, no woman emits smells like that. We smell, as I've discussed before, we smell of roses.
On that point.
Yeah, that, I've not seen another word, me. I've seen nothing at all. Listen, what we need to do is get your jingle finger going, Mayus. Go on.
Bing, di, bong, 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 ting.
Oh, that was a 50th anniversary finger. I like that.
Did you see that? He used two.
Yeah, ideas now.
Hello, hairy bikers. Here is my request. I have got a problem that I must get off my chest. Won't you listen to my story like a hairy jackanory? Because I heard your advice is the best.
In this week's half-century episode of The Agony Uncles, Uncle Si, Uncle Dave and Posh Tash, you will pontificate over these problems and pickles. We have a sweet crush. We have a dieting disaster, part two. We have the dishwasher divorce, and in Confidential Corner, the big money mistake. But we're going to start off with this. A sweet crush, which comes from Ian, who's in Rugby in the UK. Dear Uncle Si and Uncle Dave, as a long-time fan, I've often noticed your baking recipes call for grinding sugar cubes. I naively thought the result would just be granulated sugar. Now, with all your experience, you'll be able to put me right very quickly, I'm sure. Please tell me, why do you use cubes and not granulated sugar? Over to you.
News to me.
Yeah. Oh. No, actually, there is one that you granulate. Yeah, it's for toppings.
Oh, yes.
Yes, it's for the topping. That's all. And it's just mean, well, you can use granulated sugar if you want.
But or demerara.
Or demerara or anything like that, you know. But for the toppings, it's just a firmer, harder sugar. So they dry it during the process of making the cube. They dry the sugar a little bit more until it just starts to stick together, hence the cube. So when you actually grind your sugar cubes in a pestle and mortar, it's just a crispier finish to the top of your cake.
But it is only for a purpose. It's not as an everyday rule.
No.
Because, you know, we don't run around and say, I'm going to bake a cake and look for sugar cubes to grind them down. No. It's for a crunchy topping, really,
isn't it? David. Yes.
And it caramelises well. Mm.
Does it? Yeah. That sounds very fancy to me. Stick your fingers in the sugar pot and sprinkle any old sugar and it'll be crunchy, won't it?
No.
No, it'd be average.
It'd be average. No, if you're asking, if you're looking for, listen, we've just told you, will you pay attention?
No, I was
we're just asking for, you know, you're asking for extra crunch.
Very good answer, actually, I have to say. But then
Yeah, but it's funny, posh people are funny with food.
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
I remember once I got asked to cook for a dinner party, and they were posh Edinburgh folk, you know, who were more English than Scottish, really. Yes. Although they claimed ancestry back to, you know,
William the Fourth.
Whatever.
Yeah,
Andy Stewart, the lot.
Andy Stewart.
And blow me down, I said, you know, when it came to it, they were all eating nursery food because it's what they were used to at school.
Yes.
New garlic.
Who knew?
And they were so British and
conservative.
And boring.
Yeah.
You know, oh no, mustard. Yeah. No. They'd all been brought up by nanny eating gruel.
Oh,
and,
I see.
You know, it was, certainly in Barrow in Furness, at least we had, you know, the odd Asian takeaway that we could imbibe on and enjoy since a youth. These people were deprived, these posh folk at the public school.
Also deprived of rickets, though, because of their wealth and privilege.
Yes.
Lots of lemons.
Which is exactly right, Tash, because that was mostly their facial expressions. It's sucking a lemon.
I went once, actually, I got persuaded to by a friend of a friend to go and do a cookery lesson at Eton. It was one of the houses, and it was just to provide some of their young gentlemen with a recipe for like a three-course meal that they could cook to impress.
Yeah.
So that they would leave. They were about to leave Eton and go into the wide world. And I kind of had my northern chip, as it were. Not that I was cooking chips. In fact, I was doing King Prawn Pakoras, the lamb adobe, old recipe. And to be fair, they were great. The lads were great. They were engaged in it. It was fine. But it was quite funny. When we went to eat what we cooked in the house, you know, the house dining room, and I did notice there were Gainsboroughs on the wall, like real ones.
Yeah.
And that was a difference to Cambridge Street Juniors. Do you know what I mean?
Aye, aye.
You know that no eating kids are allowed to come out and just go to university and have a tin of baked beans and a pot noodle. That's just not allowed. You know?
No, but there will be six Eton boys who are quite capable of cooking King Prawn Pakora
and
the Patagonian lamb adobe.
I think one of them's running the country, isn't he?
No. The granulated sugar cube. It was a very clever process for getting the crunch that you should have. Would it work on a brûlée, do you think, Mr.
Oh, definitely, yeah. It would work on a brûlée, yeah.
I always think of the sugar cubes used to be the treat when you used to go out and the restaurants when I was little and there'd be a bowl of sugar cubes and you used to say to your mum, can I have a sugar cube? It's like feeding a little horse. I've always...
May I have a sugar cube, mummy, before I go to the gym corner?
Yes. I tell you what, look at those teeth. You don't get teeth like that.
No, you don't. Look at that, man. Look at
it. Yeah, I have little horse.
There's 45 grand in them teeth.
Yeah, those teeth are a fortune, Tash.
I went to a comedy night back at the beginning of January, and in an audience of, 200? And the comedian also picked up on my teeth from the middle of the audience.
Wow.
I honestly, just my teeth, but I've now got a complex about I've got some giant set of gnashes like a horse.
No, you haven't.
No, you've got beautiful teeth.
You've got beautiful champers.
Yes, the teeth that we could aspire to. Look.
Indeed.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, they have... Look at those. My God. If anyone's on this podcast would see that lot.
Oh, I know.
That's the knackered yard. I'm in the steam.
Do you know what I mean? Do you know what I mean?
Yes. And we didn't eat sugar cubes.
No, we didn't.
Yes,
no.
Whereas I did. I like the crystallised sugar on the end of the stick. I used to chew on that too.
Oh, God, nobody had that. What? Crystallised sugar on the end of a stick. That was for your coffee. So you just went to say it wasn't too much or too little, and it certainly wasn't a spoon.
Suck it like a lollipop.
Oh, well, we had a banana.
Yeah. We had rhubarb and a bag of sugar.
Yes.
Just to really get it into your teeth. Anyway...
Well, I think we've sold that one, and thank you very much. So there you go, Ian. It's all about the crunch. That's the reason why, but you don't have to do it on everything.
No, don't do it, and particularly not on your Yorkshire puddings, because that would be wrong.
Food makes everything better.
Okay, it's time for our next problem. It's called a dieting disaster, and actually it this is part two. It refers back to episode 46, for those who wants to go and have a listen to Dieting Disaster Part 1. But we do need one male name for this, and I'm going to ask... our best set of teeth, Tash.
I'm going to say Dennis, because Dennis and, wasn't it Dennis the Menace and Nasher? And I'm
Dennis
thinking
and Nasher
and my Nashers.
Ah,
you see, Dennis. I see how your brain works there.
Yeah, which is a worry.
Yeah, I know. Remember, Dennis, because first of all, this is in two parts. I've got an email to read you first, and then we're going to hear from Dennis. The email comes from a lady called Anna, who's in Minnesota, and who says, hello to my favourite Brits, Uncle Si, Uncle Dave, Posh Tash, and the Duke.
The Duke.
Oh, the Duke.
The
Love
Duke.
The Duke.
I like that.
Oh, you could be Daisy Duke as well.
You could be Daisy Duke. Oh, yeah. Okay. Well,
I'd pay to see that.
Yeah, I would. Definitely.
I found your shows on Netflix and Amazon Prime, and now I'm buying up all your DVDs I can get for shows that aren't available in the US. Ooh, nice. I love your programs, and I've introduced everyone I know to them. Your programs are like hanging out with friends. I didn't expect to write into this, but when I listened to the episode with The Dieting Disaster and Nick, I felt all of his trepidation, and I had to send him a message. It's very intimidating to make huge changes in any aspect of your life. And if you remember, Nick was having real trouble getting onto the diet wagon. Yeah. In the US and the UK especially, says Anna, there's a stigma attached to being fat, and we're given such unattainable ideals in our media and magazines. I have to say, making changes to your diet are the worst. And that's what I absolutely loved about the Hairy Dieter series. You acknowledged and dismissed those attitudes. You both acknowledged you weren't going to give up your favourite stuff. You just might have to have them less often and in smaller portions. And I really identified with the young woman on the series who lost 12 stone, as I'm in the same boat. What she said really stuck with me. I only have to be good 80% of the time. I've gone up and down like you folks in the TV programme, but I've kept 25 pounds off for an entire year. It's not a quick weight loss. Wow. and I still have a long way to go, but I'm trying to eat now like I would eat once all the weight is off. I'll have the habits I need to keep the weight from coming back on, and I'd like to thank you for that. So that came from Anna in Minnesota, which I thought was lovely.
That's mm-hmm. lovely.
It related to a problem that we had from Dennis, who's written in and said, I found your advice to Nick in episode 46 very inspirational. I, too, have been fighting weight issues for 35 years, and I do find your books very helpful. I'm a yo-yoer. While I can have a few good weeks or even months, I can't stick at it, which is why I really want to try one of the dieting clubs that you suggested, a support group to help me every week. The reason I'm reluctant is that back in the 1990s, says Dennis, I joined a local group, and the lady in charge was really not very nice. It was a bit like going back to school. If you'd had a good week, she'd be all over you, but if not, she'd be really horrible in front of everyone. And one time she told me that I'm one of those people who can't be helped. I should just resign myself to being fat, single, and useless.
What?
Outrageous.
What? Fat, single, and useless? Wow.
I really should resign myself to being fat, single, and useless, she said. She said that she was like that woman Marjorie in Little Britain.
Marjorie Dawes.
This means I'm really nervous about joining another one, but after your advice, I'm thinking about it again, and a few friends have recommended one locally. My question is this. How do I get up the courage to walk through that door? I'm 49 years old, I'm 5'10", I'm 20 stone. I have zero confidence, but I know that you boys have faced many challenges, so any advice you can give would be very helpful. Thanks a million, and that's from Dennis. Over to you.
I'll tell you what I do when I'm, and this is a bit of a secret, I'll go and stand in the front of a mirror. If I'm frightened of anything, I'll go and stand in front of a mirror and go, and you just have to ask yourself why. Just that, just why? Because you know if you do it, it's going to be of benefit. So why? And you just play that game with yourself. And then, yeah, just steel yourself and just look yourself in the eye, in the mirror, and go, why am I scared? Just go and do it. You know it's going to help.
No, so they always remember, if you're faced with somebody who's going to be rude to you, you're in that situation where you're equally fine to say what you think. And just say, look, I think you're being really rude to me, offensive, and it's not acceptable. Mm. And you have that power as well. You're equally in control as the person who's leading the group is. And obviously the person who said that to you the first time isn't very good at that job.
No, absolutely not.
Hasn't got a clue how to relate to people who need help. But there again, if you go to somewhere that it's been recommended,
exactly,
then that's a very good sign. There has to be an empathy with it.
Yeah, definitely.
I also think you can be so scared of something and often you get so wound up about it. And in reality, it's never, ever as bad.
It never is.
Ever. And you walk in the door and actually, I think with all these things, anyone wanted to start something new, you're going to open your door to possibly new friends, people in the same place as you, a support network again. And I'd be very surprised if you ever came across someone as horrific as that last lady again in that environment. There can't be
absolutely
too many people working in that world who want to say such horrible things. So she needs to put that to the back of her mind and actually go in and go, this could be the start of something new. And maybe it's about not thinking about the weight loss and going, who might I meet? You know, might I meet my best friend? Might I meet someone I'm going to spend time with? Might I meet a new eating habit that I might enjoy? Or, see it as a positive going in there, not as a horrible black hole.
And that's very true. And look, it's easy to say. It is easy to say because any time you evoke a change in your life, it is difficult. It's difficult. And if you, but you just, in our experience, I think I'd speak for Dave as well, you just got to steel yourself for that, just for that moment. It only takes a moment to make a decision. And then make that process and then go and do it.
Yeah.
Just go and do it. Because if you start to think about it 3 weeks beforehand, you're never going to get there. So the night before or the morning before, whenever it is, have 2 minutes with yourself, look at yourself, and just look, I can only tell you what works for me. And I mean, to be fair, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. I just think we'll sort it because it depends. You know, it just depends where you are, where your head is at the time. But you've just, it's always worth trying, and it just so is worth it.
Yeah, you just got to think, sod it, I'm going to do it.
Yeah,
and I think as well is, you know, it's funny the pressures that are, you know, the pressures for vanity. You know, it's funny. I think for us, one of the turning points certainly was for me when we went to Newcastle University and they analysed our bodies. And it was a bit of a wake-up call in terms of health. Mm. And actually, the Yeah, vanity as well, you know, secondary being the fat blokes on the telly. And some of the press can say some, you know, pretty bad things, but that was water off a duck's back, I believe,
largely speaking.
But it was the health thing. And actually, they're getting into the nicer clothes and whatever. The vanity side was a huge bonus. But I think health has to come first, really, with that. And then everything else is a bonus. Really,
and self-esteem, because if you, and it's also this thing about taking back a little bit of control, because the thing is that you feel like you're out of control, which knocks your confidence, it knocks your self-esteem. You feel like you don't look at yourself in the mirror because you see bits hanging off you that you don't want to be hanging off you. It's all of those things that build into this ball of self-loathing that is just it's not good for you. It's not good for your physical health and it's not good for your mental health. And it's just, you know, change is always difficult. It's always difficult. But positive change is even more so because you're actually starting to step outside a bit of a comfort zone that you've built for yourself that isn't healthy. And if you can just get over that and just break that little boundary, and it only takes a tiny chink in that circle to actually step over that boundary and go, I'm doing it, but I'm doing it for me.
And I also believe, you know, with families going around the world, that 90-95% of people are really, really good and decent.
Lovely.
Yeah.
But the only thing is, you only remember the person who's crappy with you. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't remember the 95% of people who have been really nice.
Yeah.
So, you know, for every bad apple, there's a hell of a lot of good ones, you know. So don't be put off by just one bad experience. Go for it.
I also think that I may be... Dennis has done brilliantly by writing to us, already acknowledging it.
It started.
And then even if he walks through the door and stays only 5 minutes, he's stepped forward. Maybe next time he goes back in again, he sticks around and has another conversation. But if he's that scared of going in and spending an hour and having to be scared of someone saying something to him, maybe he just goes in and listens for a while. And every little tiny step forward to go into that meeting or going in and, you know, is a step forward. It doesn't have to be change overnight. And that's the confidence. But I think he should write back to us and let us know when he's gone in.
Yeah.
Oh, I'd love that. Love that.
I always remember as well the young lady who'd lost 12 stone on that series. And we ended up we went to an aerobics class in Preston. and it was so funny. There was such a strong community of people, but they put us to shame.
Oh, God.
You know, we went in there, the blokes who we thought we were fit. And I lasted about 10 minutes and that was it, really. And we both had to bail out. But this young lady who had turned herself around, by God, an hour later, still going like the Duracell bunny.
Wow.
Yeah, and that was her payoff.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But she still, like you said, 80% of the time, 20%, she'd go out with her mates, have a good drink, have a pizza, whatever. Yeah. But then, you know, again, the exercise was cumulative. She found herself doing an hour aerobics and really enjoying it with mates. And the whole thing was a cycle. So because of that, she could enjoy the jollies at the weekend.
Because it's her control, it's her choices, and it's working for her. And that's what you're actually aiming for. You're aiming for to just get a bit of self-control and a bit of self-assurance that actually you, as an individual human being, you, in your head, in your body, can actually make that change.
Yeah.
And if somebody's rude and offensive, stick up for yourself.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. They might think they're in power, but they're not.
No, and you choose who you want to listen to. And you may hear all sorts of things, but you need to learn to pick out the key information that makes you feel better, that not makes you feel worse.
That's so true, Posh Tash.
So there you go, Dennis. Do let us know. We'd love to hear back from you when you make that step. And we're all rooting for you. And to Anna in Minnesota, thank you very much for writing in. And to everyone who listens to this podcast in America, actually, we've got a good audience in the USA. So it's lovely to hear from all of you.
We should say also there's a new Hairy Bikers healthy eating book coming out in May. So it's another one for everyone to go to look at.
Fantastic. Mm. Not long to wait for that. Brilliant stuff.
In fact, we're shooting the cover tomorrow, which is why we look so good.
That's what they think.
I think I might have to, you know, do something with my hair.
Oh, it would be all right. We've got a groomer, haven't we?
Have we?
Yeah. Alice is coming up.
Oh, hi, Alice.
Alice.
I love Alice.
So for the last book, though, you had Well, do you have William Shakespeare and Kenny Rogers? What are we going for this time?
We're going for George Clooney and Brad Pitt. In our heads.
I'm buying it.
Look, it's a seller.
I'm glad.
If you got problems, you'll be fine. Just drop the agony uncles a line.
Time for our next problem. It's called the dishwasher divorce, and we need one male and one female name. Uncle Si, a male name. Uncle Dave, a female name, please.
Peter
and Belinda.
Peter and Belinda. This is from Belinda, who says, I live with Peter. He's an intelligent, sensitive, and sensible man. We rub along together very well indeed. We agree on many things and find pleasure in each other's company. He's kind. He's good in bed. In short, there's little to complain about. Little, that is, until it comes to loading the dishwasher. Unfortunately, I believe that the matter of loading the dishwasher will be the end of us, because he, frankly, loads it wrong every time. We need you two professional cooks to solve this once and for all. I say, because it is correct, that glasses and pots and pans go on the top tray and plates, bowls and cups go on the bottom. He says that whilst plates can go on the bottom, glasses and bowls must go on top, and worst still, pots and pans shouldn't go in the dishwasher at all. As I regularly scream at him, what's the point of a dishwasher if you can't wash everything in it? So for the sake of our relationship, please help. What's the correct way to load the dishwasher? Asks Belinda. Over to you.
I couldn't give a shit.
I would say.
I just lob everything in, and then if there's a gap that I can get a glass in, I'm there. I think, Belinda, you're being a bit anal, pet. That's all I'm saying. I just think that that's like whatever gets you through the night. If he's got all of those great things and you want to divorce him over how he loads the dishwasher, get a life.
Oh, no, I'm very picky with a dishwasher.
No, really?
Yes. Yeah, you see, I believe there's got to be logic. Now, obviously, dinner plates go downstairs because there isn't room upstairs for them.
No.
So,
yes.
And the pans, I believe, should be upside down on the bottom shelf too.
Bottom shelf.
And the top shelf, you know, generally glasses. But actually, I found recently that I break a lot of glasses in the dishwasher. So if I have it on the same temperature for pans, it can sometimes shatter me crystal.
Oh, that's never right.
So what I do is I've actually bought a drainer that goes by my sink. So my glasses for drinking, I just rinse and put on the drain. I don't put them in the dishwasher.
I tell you what I don't put in the dishwasher. I don't put me knives. I don't put wine glasses. But like tumblers and stuff that you drink.
Oh, yeah, it goes.
I lob all those
top
in.
Top shelf.
Top shelf.
Yeah, because in my theory, all the muck goes down, doesn't it? So then
the spray comes up for the bottom. The thing's spinning round and the water gets sprayed up. So the only thing is about the pans going on the bottom is that you often have to turn them virtually sort of upside down, which means it restricts the spray going up to the glasses.
Well, I do turn them upside down. Of course I turn them upside down.
You've got two Wizzly Bobs. Not just one on the bottom, is there?
There's one on the top.
If you have a look, Tash, you definitely have.
I'm having a quick look. Hold on.
I just had a new Bosch installed, actually.
Oh.
Yeah, double whizzer. Yeah.
I haven't got a one at the top and one at the bottom. Mine just whizzes at the bottom.
Oh. Does it?
Yeah, I've only got one whiz. Maybe I've got something else going on top. But I, like Si, I just couldn't give a flying anything about my dishwasher. It all goes in, it all washes, it comes out, and I don't even mind if the knife and forks, we've got that top tray and you line them up. Sometimes I put a knife that way and a fork that way.
No.
It drives my husband mad.
Oh, look at that. It's vitriolic. But you know, our old house, and it had nothing to do with me, it actually, the person must have been even more anal with dishwashers because they had two dishwashers and one was for glasses and one was for pans.
Oh. Well, that's luxury, isn't it?
Oh, and my kitchen's not big enough to have two in.
But I never used it like that.
No.
I just wait. When one was full, I put the button on and then start filling the other one.
Oh,
so we turned it on twice a week.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, yeah, things like that. There is a right way and a wrong way.
No.
Can I also have that discussion about whether you rinse the plates before you put them in?
Depends how mucky.
Depends how mucky. Yeah. I mean, scrambled egg pans, never had any success with them. So I don't.
No, well, they sticks the bottom, doesn't it, the scrambled egg a bit?
Not if you buy a hairy biker's pan that's non stick, it's fabulous.
Yes, that is true.
There'll be no stick there.
No stick.
One wipe and it's off.
See, clever. But that whole thing about pots and pans in a dishwasher, though, you did say the other day on a podcast that you actually, like, your woks, you shouldn't wash anyway.
No. Or cast iron.
What?
Yeah. No.
What? And if your dishwasher door doesn't open, you know, when it's to let all the steam out, you see, what you can do, this is top hack, this. My my daughter-in-law told me this, but I said, she was very disappointed when I said my door opens to let the steam out. So what happens is, once you've finished your cycle, right, and your door doesn't open, what you do is you take a tea towel, you put your tea towel over the door and just leave it open slightly, okay? Mm. And the tea towel absorbs all the steam, and your glasses and your pans, pots and pans come out dry as a board.
Sparkly. Oh, lovely.
That's clever.
Wow. Yeah.
Top dishwasher
nice.
Hack.
That nice. Nice. Great for washing motorcycle parts as well, aren't they, dishwashers?
Yeah, they do. Yes. Actually, yeah, mint, yeah.
Mm, yeah.
I double up, seriously, this is bad. I double up on my dishwasher tablets, though, if I'm washing, like, a part of a motorcycle.
Yeah, get the oil.
Yeah.
Ecological disaster, though.
Oh, completely.
I made a mistake once as well. I quite like my candles, and I like a nice glass candle, and sometimes you finish it all the way down, and I put boiling water in to get the bottom last bit of wax out, but... I didn't. I just thought I'd stick it in the dishwasher. But of course, it melted the wax and then sprayed it around the dishwasher. And I sort of re-lined the glassware with splatters of wax, which I then had to scrape off for ages. So don't put your candle glass pots in your dishwasher. It's a disaster.
It sounds like a George Formby record.
Don't put your candle in glass pots in the dishwasher.
No.
Well, if you're down,
now
don't get drunk.
Don't get drunk.
Just send an email
to the Agony Uncles.
It's time to head to Confidential Corner, and this is called The Big Money Mistake. We need another male name and another female name, so Uncle Dave, male name this time, please, and Uncle Si, female.
Freddie.
Felicity.
This comes from Freddie, who says, "Dear Agony Uncles, I've made a bit of a mistake and I don't know what to do. I've booked flights for me and my partner, Felicity, to go to India. It's been a dream of ours. And I love doing all the travel booking, so I found accommodation, flights, etc., and then spent all of our money booking it up. Except I've made a boo-boo, a big one. I meant to book flights for June 2023, but I, and I don't know how I did this, booked them for January 2023. I only realised this when I got an email in my spam folder from the airline saying, rate your flight. Also in my spam folder, I then found emails from them with checking in details, baggage allowances, etc. I phoned them, but as the flights have gone, I can't get a refund. I need to explain this to my partner, as that's a couple of grand blown, and I don't know how we're going to get to India now. I'm also aware that she already thinks I'm a bit impetuous and that I don't really check things before diving in, so this isn't really going to improve that situation either. Help, says Freddie. Over to you.
It's so easily done. In the days of one click and that's it, you're knackered. Funny enough, Lil and I have both done it. Lil did it with flights to Italy, and it was the same thing. She got the dates wrong. I did it with a hotel. Do you remember when it was a really posh hotel in Sorrento, and it was a big treat for the summer, and I was on set cooking with you, and I had a phone call came up saying, "Mr. Myers, what time are you arriving?" And I'm going, "Next month." "No, you're not." And I said, "Oh, no." And I can remember I sweat blood. And in the end, the hotel, because I'd booked for 4 nights and it was really, really expensive, they agreed to meet me halfway. And you know, I accepted the fact I was an idiot. But I still lost, like, I lost half the money. And I had to explain that to Lil. But then she did the same thing with flights the year before. You know, it was kind of even, I did point out that it was even Stevens before she lifted. But it didn't really have much effect, really. I was still an idiot. But I remember that. We were cooking in that. Wood-fired oven going somewhere in Spain.
Yeah.
And I thought, this man's telling me I'm in Italy and I should be there. Complete head scramble. It's
did
so easy done, though, isn't it?
Did you still get there, and Dave, next month? Did you still get to go as well, on top of it?
No, I couldn't afford it. I ended up with a bed and breakfast. Yeah, I went. But obviously, I wasn't going to the posh hotel. I'd blown that one.
Hard, isn't it? Because there's two massive things. You've lost the money and you've lost the opportunity to go and have a trip of a lifetime. Pretty, but I mean, we always say it, don't we? You got to come clean, I think. You can't.
You just got to, man, because he's just going to find out because she's not going. And unless he robs a bank, there's nothing you can do. You're in the shit, dude.
And he's missed a flight, so he can't go in January when the weather would probably be better, wouldn't it?
And he's spam. How in God's name has he done that? Yeah, no, you're an idiot.
No, it's easy. He's not an idiot.
It's easily done.
Yeah.
But he should have checked it, like, to be fair. Double-checked everything. It gives you the opportunity to double-check everything.
Yeah. I had nothing on this major cost sale, but I did book something at the Christmas period for my little son to go and do as an activity over the Christmas period. And I booked something and thought, brilliant, amazing. And then he actually was quite ill, so couldn't go. But they sent me a message saying that I hadn't turned up, but I'd actually booked the wrong date. But I spun it quite well and blamed it on them and got away with it and got my refund. Somehow, I can't remember how I got, they sort of said, you've missed it. And I said, oh, no, actually, I booked this date and your booking site was outrageous. And I clicked this and I a bit naughtily, I span it. And, yeah, I got my refund, even though
it was that,
my...
That is why you're our manager.
Yes, that's why.
Yes, yes.
Perhaps Freddie should give you a call, Tash. Perhaps you can
definitely
get onto the
airline. I remember
the
Jane booked this very, very expensive. My ex-wife booked this very expensive for the family. And there was lots of like add-ons that were coming to... And she booked it for... she said, oh, no, it's going to be great, you know, just before Easter and stuff, and you're off. And I said, all right, great. And it was this very nice kind of house hire thing. If you think about Airbnb on steroids, it was like, it was great. Anyway, she comes to go, and she said, I haven't had any confirmation or anything like that. And I said, give us a look at the booking. And she'd booked it for actually... And I mean, bear in mind, this was like several years ago now. She'd booked it for 2021, and it happened to be 2019.
Something to look forward to.
I mean, it's like 2019 and 2021 don't even look similar. I would get it if it was 2018 and you'd booked it. Like, what? How have you done this? She was absolutely mortified. And obviously, I mean, we're good mates. I still never let her forget it. I can't remember when you booked that house. What was it called? Greystokes. Can you remember that? I only ever remember it because it was the same neighbours where Tarzan lived. Do you know what I mean?
Sometimes I'm the kind of person that when I'm booking, you get over paranoid or you're doing an email and you sort of over... You're looking at... I won't send it. You can't send an email for about 10 minutes because you just got to check all the right recipients are on it or no one's wrong on it. Or, I mean, surely everyone sent an email to the wrong person before at some point as well. You're writing something and you realise you've accidentally CC'd somebody in and or it's about them. I don't know. I think it's very easy. So now I'm paranoid with those things. I double check and I keep going and I'm going... Pluck up the courage to hit the send button or the book button or whatever it is.
Do you remember that time we used to stay when we were at the BBC at the K West, a hotel in Shepherd's Bush, quite a funky hotel.
Yeah, I know.
And we were paying for ourselves. Mm. And so I went online and I booked it, and the K West stands for the Kensington something. And I just thought, God, it's a cracking deal. You know, it was like half the price.
Oh, I remember.
And so I said, no, Kingy, leave it to me. It's fine. And I said, I've got it for this. How about that, eh? Hey, you know. Anyway, we went to reception. No, there's no booking. Oh, I've got my paper here. No, sir, you're at a bed and breakfast that's like four streets down. Oh, it was a feral.
Oh, it was feral.
Oh,
there
around the corner.
No, it was horrible.
Oh, God.
The Kensington crap house.
Oh, it was really bad.
Yeah.
Never mind, though, it was the beds were clean.
That's about it, really.
No, that was it.
No. Well, I thought we'd hang out with the glitterati and say we're hanging out with the infestation.
Yeah, it was infestation. I've got, listen, I'm sorry. I don't feel like I've been particularly helpful on this one. I think, as we always say, you just got to tell her.
Stick your hands up.
Because, I mean, that's a lot of money, but you are a bit of a donkey.
That is a lot of money, though, isn't it?
It is.
I mean, yeah, I would to admit, personally, I would have double-checked that if it was a case of thousands of pounds.
Yeah, man, because I knew he got himself overexcited. He got himself in the mindset of just doing it and getting it right. And he hasn't double-checked it, which he has a reputation for, which either way, you're never going to get away with that, particularly with your partner.
Well, if I do something like that, I get Lil to check it so that if something does go wrong, it's mutual... acceptance of responsibility.
Yeah.
My other best mate is Nikki, and I get her to check it, and she'll go, "Yeah, 99% of the time, I've done it right, But it's that 1% that's the issue.
It's annoying. It's when you do on booking.com or places like that, and you set the date and the time or the number of kids.
Yeah.
You want. And sometimes they default back again, and you have to keep putting it back in.
Oh, yeah, it's so irritating that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's frustrating. Yeah. And that could be, he could turn the story maybe into, I think something happened, and it flipped from the J, January, June.
You know? Yeah.
But when you start all that, it's just a web of deceit and lies.
Yeah, just like.
It gets more complicated. No, you've screwed it up. Yeah. You know, you're just going to have to do more overtime and make up for it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, so, you know, obviously now you can't afford a holiday. So you'd be going, Southport's really nice.
It's lovely summer.
Like an Indian restaurant.
Yeah, go and have a curry in Southport.
Oh, God.
If your life's in a mess, then the email address is theagonyuncles@thehairybikes.co.uk. Yeah.
Well, after all that problem solving, we're quite worn out. It's time to say goodbye. So thanks very much for writing in and sending in your troubles, because without it, we haven't got a podcast, which is always very handy. So thank you for doing that. We do love hearing from you, and we really do read every single message you send us on social media. So thank you for that.
We appreciate all your messages. Now remember, if you haven't already done too yet, email us. It's agonyuncles@thehairybikers.co.uk. agonyuncles@thehairybikers.co.uk. Then make sure you follow or subscribe so you don't miss out the new ones when they come out. You wouldn't want to do that now, would you?
Yeah, no, you wouldn't. So until next week, it's goodbye from Tash.
Hi.
And the Thin White Duke.
Goodbye.
And from us.
Goodbye.